great question. Yeah, praise God. Thank Him because it's His blood that washed us clean. Amen. Amen. That's a great question this morning. You think about it. You're in service this morning. Am I washed by the blood of the Lamb? Have I given everything to Him? We all bow your heads. We open up with a word of prayer. Dear Lord God, I thank you and I praise you that we can come here this morning. I thank you that we have been washed clean by the blood of your Son, Jesus, God. And through our faith and trust in Him, you have washed us clean and then called us unto you, God. And we can stand here in righteousness and praise your holy name this morning, God. I thank you and I praise you for that. I ask, Lord, the anointing of your Holy Spirit will be upon our service and upon our songs that we sing of praise to you, and especially upon the word, the Bible, and your pastor, the Lord, this morning, who is going to bring that word to us. I thank you for it in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.
That we had lost our position at the Urban Mission because they closed it down. But we have now definitely secured a new place of service, and it's Mount Zion Baptist Church in 2011 North 7th Street. So that address is in your bulletin, so mark that down. And we will do community breakfast there February 24th, and the start time is at 7:30. Also, a new ministry that's going to be starting in the church, a women's winter fellowship. It's open to all women. That will start on Saturday, February 24th. Also, if you want the strawberries that the youth are preparing, has anybody ever gotten those before here? Are they good? They're very good, and they look great. So if you're looking for a gift, there's one right there. And two announcements. Look at the bottom of your bulletin, upcoming dates in the future that you can find there. And one really important announcement, and it is your birthday.
I'm so old, I forgot it.
Your birthday. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Mike. Happy birthday to you. Cha-cha-cha.
Yeah. Thank you, guys. I was unexpected. Yeah. And I know I deserve that because I've done that to a lot of you.
Yes.
All right. Well, enough about birthdays and me. Let's praise God this morning. Amen. Amen.
Risen, Jesus, you are Lord of
we do come and we do praise you. You are so worthy to be praised. You're so worthy of our worship. So, Father, we come with a glad heart, a heart seeking to honor and to glorify you. So, Lord, as we lift this offer of praise to you, Father, we ask that you find it acceptable. Father, we pray that you find it from a clean heart, a heart that has presented itself to you this morning to ask for the forgiveness of our sins, that there would be nothing that would stand between you and us, that you could speak into us through your word, Lord, that it could be a life-changing experience because we've encountered you. So, Lord, we do praise you, and we thank you for all that you do for us. And, Lord, we want to pray, Lord, for this gift of these offerings that are going to be taken up. So, Lord, we just lift this up to you. We ask you bless both the gift and the giver in Jesus' name. And, Lord, I pray that if I'm going to say or do something that is not right according to your word, I ask that you silence me, that you rise up the one to speak for you. Because this is not about me. This is all about you. So, Lord, have your will and your way. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. We need to start off this morning with actually a couple prayer requests. Lendell Yater passed away last night, and so we need to keep the Yater family, and of course his brother Pork is here from downstate, and but we need to keep the Yater family in our prayers. Also for Diana Campa's daughter, Melinda, she had a liver transplant, and she's now in liver failure. So, rejection, yeah. So, we just need to keep them in our prayers. Here's what we know, right? Our God is greater, right? And listen, I know Lendell. I know what his spiritual condition is and was. So, he is good. He is really, really good. So, but still, those who are left behind need to be uplifted with our comfort and our prayers. Amen. All right, so get your Bible, Esther chapter 8. Esther chapter 8. And it's good to see a lot of you here. I know a lot of you have been sick. A lot of new faces. We welcome you. But you see some empty spaces in here that are normally filled. Now they're sick. So we had like three or four Sunday school teachers call off this morning because they were ill. So we need to pray for them, all right? Okay. Esther chapter 8. C.C. Winus sings a song that you all know it, and we sing it here. It goes like this. I love you, Lord, for your mercy never fails me. All of my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. Because all my life you have been faithful. And all my life, you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire. In darkest night, you are close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. And I have lived in the goodness of God. Your goodness is running after. It's running after me. Your goodness is running after. It's running after me. And it goes on. You all know the song, right? And hopefully now you've got that stuck in your head, right? I mean, I just read it. I didn't sing it. And you'll thank me for that, all right? But you've hopefully you got that song stuck in your head, and you will think about God's goodness the rest of this day. It's important to do that because today we're going to see in a book of the Bible where although there is no mention of God, no mention of His Son, Jesus Christ, no mention of the Holy Spirit, no mention of anything holy or godly where there is no hint of God, we are going to see once again that God is woven throughout every single page of this book, right? He's in every page of this book to bring about His goodness to His people. So turn with me again to the book of Esther. Let's go back to chapter 8. That's where we left off last week, beginning in verse 1. Esther chapter 8, verse 1. And it reads like this. It says, on that day, now remember, that would be the day that Haman was hanged, right? On that day, King Ahasuerus gave Queen Esther the house of Haman, the enemy of the Jews. And Mordecai came before the king, for Esther had told how he was related to her. So the king took off his signet ring, which he had taken from Haman, and gave it to Mordecai, and Esther appointed Mordecai over the house of Haman. Verse 3, now Esther spoke again to the king, fell down at his feet, and implored him with tears to counteract the evil of Haman the Agagite and the scheme which he had devised against the Jews. Verse 4, and the king held out the golden scepter toward Esther, so Esther arose and stood before the king and said, if it pleases the king, and if I found favor in his sight, and the thing seems right to the king, and I am pleasing in his eyes, let it be written to revoke the letters devised by Haman, the son of Hammedatha the Agagite, which he wrote to annihilate the Jews who are in all of the king's provinces. May the Lord add his reading to the word. Well, we learned last week about the persistence of Esther. We learned about the persistence of Esther, how Esther, at the risk of her own life, went back to the king. And remember, you didn't just go to the king, and you especially didn't go to the king all weeping and pouting and complaining and moaning and groaning. You didn't do that. But yet she mustered up the courage, and she went back to the king. Anybody remember what she went back to for the king for? She went back to the king to beg for the salvation of her people. In verse 6, she said, I cannot bear to see the destruction of my people. But what we learned was the law, and it could not be changed. It could not be reversed, even by the king. So all of her begging, all her persistence wasn't going to change anything. Or was it? Or was it? We have to remember the edict, the law that couldn't be revoked. Remember, we talked about last week, it couldn't be reversed, it couldn't be revoked, it couldn't be changed, that all the Jews will be destroyed. Well, we got a little hint last week that persistence does change things. Remember that persistence does change things. And we need, you and I, need to be persistent and know that the lives of those we love, our loved ones, or the lives of those we love, their spiritual lives depends on that persistence of continuously, faithfully going to the king and begging for them to live eternally. It is vitally important that we're persistent in that. So let's move forward and finish this chapter up this morning. And here's what I want you to see next, right? That was last week. Let's see what you see next. So here would be point two from last week. I want you to look at the goodness of our God. I want you to look at the goodness of our God because God is going to do something here and it's going to be good. It just happens that God is going to put a thought into the mind of a pagan king. Let me say that again. It just happens that God is going to put a thought into the mind of a pagan king. Now, let me ask you this question. Can God do that? God can God use a pagan president? Let me ask you that. Can God use? Yes, sure he can. Can God use a pagan chairman of the Communist Party in Beijing? Yes, he can. Or how about this? What about, can God use an egomaniac who runs Russia from inside the Kremlin? Yes, he can. Because let me tell you something. The Word of God says in Proverbs chapter 21, verse 1, he says this, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. Like the rivers of water, he turns it wherever he wishes. He turns it. You see that? He turns it wherever he wishes. He's talking about these pagan kings, the kings all over this world, including the United States of America. He says this. He says he turns it in any way he wishes. Have you ever seen a river that just kind of wiggles back, turns back and forth like this? Well, that's exactly what this passage right here I just read you is saying, that the Lord has the heart of the king right here. Now, when you first look at this, you look at the king and you think he's making the decisions. When in truth, God is just moving him where he wants to be, just however he wants him to navigate, God will move him. Do you remember what Jesus said to Pilate? When Jesus was standing before Pilate, anybody remember what he said? Jesus looked up at Pilate and he said to him in John chapter 19, verse 11, he says, listen, he says, you could have no power at all against me unless it had been given you. What else does it say? From above. Meaning you, the governor, the appointed governor by Rome, he's talking to Pilate. Jesus is saying, even you would have no power to do anything had it not been given you from above. Now, we know what happened ultimately. He sent Jesus to crucifixion. Did God allow that? Yes. Yes, he absolutely did. So the power comes from above. Now, does that help you feel better in America now? Well, just remember that as we are moving into this election year. God is in control. Understand that. God is in control no matter if we get our personal choices or not. God is still in control. He has that person here in his hand, and he's directing him. You say, well, how in the world? Listen, God knows the beginning from the end. And he says it's going to get worse before it gets better. Right? He has him right. So here he is. God is going to put a thought in the mind of a pagan king. In verse 7, Xerxes is going to point out what he has already done. What's what he sees? He's going to point out what he's already done. Verse 7, then King Ahasuerus said to Queen Esther and Mordecai the Jew, indeed I have given Esther the house of Haman, and they have hanged him on the gallows because he tried to lay his hand on the Jews. Now some suggest that there was a little attitude in Xerxes' words here. That's what some of the people say. Other commentators suggest that Xerxes was getting impatient with Esther here. Just as a side note, I want you to think about this. Aren't you thankful that our king, capital K, never gets attitude-y with us? I mean, think about how many times we've messed up. And we go to him, and he is so gracious towards us. He doesn't get an attitude with us. He wants us to come to him, right? He doesn't have an attitude with us. Anyway, Xerxes says, I've already done everything that I know to do. He says, I can't change the law. I want you to look at verse 8. Now listen, I know we're in a series, and if you're new here, you need to go back and read this and go get the sermons offline, but this is fascinating stuff. But he comes, Xerxes says, I can't change the law. Verse 8, he says, you yourselves write a decree concerning the Jews as you please. Wouldn't you love for a president to tell us that? He says, you yourselves write a decree concerning the Jews as you please in the king's name and seal it with the king's signet ring, For whatever is written in the king's name is sealed with the king's signet ring. No one can revoke. No one can change it. Nobody can reverse it. That's what the king says, I can't change this. That's what he's telling them. He says, I can't change the law. Once it's a law, I can't change the law. He says, so here's what I want you to do. I want you to write, so I want you write to the Jews as you see fit and see and seal it with the king's signet ring. It's as good as if I said it. It's as good as if I wrote it. Just seal it with that signet ring, and nobody's going to question this. Essentially, he was saying, knock yourself out. Just knock yourself out, but there's only one stipulation that you have here. He says, knock yourself out, but you can't change the law. You can write whatever you want, but you can't change the law. But you do whatever you want, I really don't care that much. And we've seen that with him in the past, right? We've seen that with him, with Haman. He did the same thing. He says, you write it. Here's the ring, you write it, right? So now he's coming to the Jews. You see that reversal, right? You write your own edict, just like Haman wrote an edict, and seal it with my ring. Now you write the edict, and you see that in another reversal, and it will not cancel Haman's edict, but it can override it. You ever have that... Somebody, you work for a corporation or something, somebody comes down and tells you something, and it's your superior, and you're supposed to listen to it, and then somebody comes in above them and says, oh, wait a minute, no. They override it, right? See, that's what he's saying. He's saying, look, you can't change the law, but you can override it. And so look what he does is this. Look at verse 9. So the king's scribes were called at that time in the third month, which is the month of Sivan, on the 23rd day. And it was written according to all that Mordecai commanded, meaning whatever Mordecai said, according to what Mordecai commanded to the Jews, the satraps, the governors, the congressmen, the senators, the representatives, you get it here, and the princes of the provinces from India and Ethiopia, 127 provinces in all, to every province in its own script, meaning written in its own language. When we write American, we have a certain script. When you write in Chinese, they have a certain script, right? He says, you write it in every province in its own script to every people in their own language, meaning their own tongue. You write it the way they speak, and to the Jews in their own script and language. Now listen, let me ask you a question here. Should Christians, should the people of God be involved in the legislative process of our country? Yes. Highly controversial topic right there. But I most definitely believe that we should be in that process. And listen, I want to go a step further. I think some of you in this place right now, I think some of you should be involved in the legislative process. And you say, well, what about the separation of church and state? Well, okay, let's talk about that for a very brief second. The separation of church and state was written by Jefferson to a Baptist association. It was written to say the state cannot tell the church what to do, but the state desperately needs to hear from the people of God. And right here, you have the people, right here in this text, you have the people of God involved in a legislative process. Listen to me, brothers and sisters. If there was ever a time we need to be involved in that, it's right now. We need to step up. Sitting around, gossiping about it, complaining about it, is not going to do any good. But if you're in a position to make a change, then you can make a change. But look at me. We need to be involved in it. I want you to listen to something that Chuck Colson wrote. You don't believe me, you'll listen to Chuck Colson, okay? Listen to something Chuck Colson wrote. He says, but I will tell you one thing. If our Christian commitment does not put you in direct opposition of the values of this culture, if you don't have to make those kind of choices between God and man, if you do not feel that this culture is making you make some hard choices, check your Christian commitment. Because it's inevitable in the value system of this culture that your Christian commitment is going to put you on a collision course. If it doesn't, you better wonder if God really is at work in your life. Whew. He's mean. I was being nice. No. let me say this. When it, reading all this and talking about this, Mordecai gets it. He gets these statements. He understands these statements, and it puts him in direct contradiction to what was already part of the law. He needs to make a change. And here God gives him an insight, comes along, and God gives him an insight, a way into this, that God is going to counter the decree that was entered against the Jews. Now, that was what that was. But also, I want you to understand something. I want you to realize something. Do you realize that there is a decree of death against you? There's a decree of death against you. Did you know that? Listen, put your finger right there in Esther and get over with me to Colossians chapter 2 in the New Testament. Colossians chapter 2. Because there is a decree of death against every one of us here, against me and against you. A lot of us don't think of it that way, but it's there. It's very plain as day. Now listen to what Paul writes in Colossians chapter 2, beginning in verse 13. Colossians 2, beginning in verse 13, look what it says. And you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, that is before you were saved. That's what it means. You were dead in your sin before you were saved. And you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your faith, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. You know, I don't underline the word trespass there. I underline the word all. Right? It's very important. Having forgiven you all trespasses. Now, listen, if you have trusted Jesus Christ, that is what happened to you. That verse right there. If you've trusted in Jesus Christ, that's what's happened to you. If you put your faith and trust in him, he has forgiven you of all your sins. So how did he do that? Well, he canceled out the certificate of death. That's how he did it. Do you know... that you had a certificate for the wages of sin is? So what is the wages of sin? It's the price tag that goes with sin. It's the price tag that goes with sin. Meaning this, you sin, you got to pay the price. But the fact is, here's the fact about that. The fact about that is you can't pay the price. You can't do it. You sin, and the price tag is you got to pay the price. Catch 22, you can't pay the price. Why? Because you don't have perfect blood. You don't have sinless blood. You sin, and the wages of that sin, what you've earned because of that sin, the price tag of sin is death. Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 4 and verse 20, look what it says, the soul who sins shall die. Why do we all die? Because we all, right? The soul who sins shall die. So I had, and you had, a certificate of death consisting of a decree against us that was hostile. This decree against us is hostile. Why? Because we were, like the Jews were going to be, we were going to be destroyed. In other words, this was a decree that called for your death, not just your physical death, but this was a decree that called for your physical and your spiritual death. But that's what's been taken out of the way if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Y'all dead. I'm being dead serious. Y'all dead. Do you understand what he did? When he canceled out your debt for your sin, he took you from death to life. And he has taken out of the way, having nailed it to the cross, so that he counters the decree of death over your life, over my life, but over your life with his goodness and his graciousness, so you don't have to die spiritually, and you will not die spiritually if you believe in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. I just said Brother Lendl passed away. He passed away from this earth, but he has gone to eternity to live forever. Why? Because Jesus Christ canceled out his decree of death. Yes, we will die physically. We will all die physically if the Lord tarries. But that's nothing. It's absolutely nothing when you count all of eternity that I will be alive. Yes, we will all die physically, but you don't have to die spiritually. Good night, people. You all die physically, but you don't have to die spiritually. And understand that dying spiritually means it means eternal separation from God, which is hell, literally. You understand what you've been given. Listen to me, there is this goodness of God that cannot be equated with any other thing. Nothing compares to the goodness of God. Now, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, I want you to think back to your story. I'm going to step on your toes just so you know it's coming. I want you to think back, back to your story. I've often done that, and I've often shared that of myself, that God sets up circumstances and events that will show you who He is. And listen, He can use the ungodly to do it. That throughout history, we can see that God has consistently and completely worked in the background of the lives of those He is calling and drawing unto His salvation. And listen, the Word says that He is not willing that any perish, but all come to a repentance. That means a turning in your lives, a turning from one direction to a new direction, a turning from walking away from Him to walking to Him. So He is not willing that any perish. He's working in the background, even right this very moment. He's working in the background, even to those who don't yet believe, to bring events and circumstances to lead you to deliverance. Can you even imagine your importance before a holy God? Did you ever think of yourself that way? Can you imagine your importance before a holy God that He is willing to work in the circumstances that you don't even know about, doing whatever He can so that you can know Him? Do you have any idea what measures that He goes to so that you will trust and believe in Him? Likewise, remember, in our text, there was a whole lot going on that no one knew about, right? It just happened that God kept the king awake one night so that he could learn about the heroic efforts of one single Jew who just happened to overhear a plot to kill the king and who just happened to have told Esther the queen about that plot and the queen just happened to tell the king about it. And God working in the background telling this story shows his goodness so that it just happened that the evil plot against God's people would be thwarted. You seeing this? All this from the back. I know a lot of you haven't been here, but you see all this working of God. I mean, we're talking over 5, 6, 7 years that God has been in this, working this to this very point that the evil plot against God's people would be thwarted. Who is God's people? Yeah, right? It just happened that over a span of those many years that God didn't forget about His people. Some of you are in a place right now that you're thinking, I think God forgot about me. No, God's working for you. He, over all those years, He was still working out to deliver them. Now that is the goodness of God, folks. God's goodness works toward those who are His people. He is working out all things for the good of those who love Him and who are called according to His purpose. That's the goodness of God. He is not willing that any would perish. Now let me give you the last thing, and I want you to see is this. I want you to see the revival of His people. Point number 3, the revival of His people. And oh, how we need this today. But look at what happens beginning in verse 15. Mordecai went out. Now I want you to think about this. Verse 15, Mordecai went out. Watch. So Mordecai went out from the presence of the king in the royal apparel of blue and white with a great crown of gold and a garment of fine linen and purple. Now, back up, right? Let's rewind. Do you remember when the first edict was passed by Haman? Y'all remember that? Y'all remember how Mordecai went out after that edict was passed? How did he go out? Sackcloth and ashes, right? You see a reversal here, right? Now the second edict that overrides the first edict, right? The second edict comes out, and he goes out and he's dressed in royal robes and a crown. So let me just ask you this question. How are you going to go out? How are you going to go out? Well, let me just say this, I want to say this in all humbleness. Really, I do. I'm not saying this in arrogance and pride. I pray not anyways, but I say this in all humbleness. I'm asking you, how are you going to go out? Listen, I don't know about you, but I'm going to get to walk around all over eternal glory in a robe and a crown. Lendl is walking around in a robe and a crown. Listen, you can't get away from the fact that this looks almost like the second coming of Christ right here. You got to look at that, and you can almost see that in what it's going to look like in the second coming of Christ. Now look at this. When he went out, the city of Shushan rejoiced and was glad. I don't have time to break all this down, but you need to go in and study what that meant and what that is. But the city of Shushan went, rejoiced and was glad. Again, do you remember when the first edict went out? How did the city of Shushan respond? Anybody remember how they, the first one? Well, I know you know. You typed it. They went out in confusion. That was the first time they went out in confusion. Now go back and read it. Go back and read chapter 3, verse 15, Steve. I see you looking. Chapter 3, verse 15. And the city of Shushan was confused. But now that this edict is passed, how did they respond? They shout and they rejoice. It's a celebration. Yet another reversal. See it? And look at what happens for the Jew. Look at verse 16. The Jews had light and gladness, joy and honor. This is amazing. It really, truly is. Look at verse 17. It's amazing. And in every province and city, wherever the king's command and decree came, the Jew had joy and gladness, a feast and a holiday. Now watch this. Look at this. Lord have mercy. Here's a revival. There's a revival has done broke out. This is what happens when the goodness of God falls upon his people. Watch. Have you ever noticed this before? Look what it says. Then many of the people of the land became Jews. Now I get it all. It's the people ask it all the time. When I get saved, do I become a Jew? No. I'm not a Jew. I'm adopted as one. I'm adopted into the Jewish family. I've been adopted. You all know that. I'm adopted. I was adopted into a Polak family. Am I a Polak? Nope. I'm a Heinz 57. Purebred. All right? But I inherit everything of that Polak family. All right? Here we go. You can disagree with me. Okay, I get it. You can disagree with me. All right. I'll see you in heaven. All right? You want to fight about it, I'll see you in heaven. Then the Lord will settle it and you'll find out. Never mind. Then many of the people of the land became Jews because fear of the Jews fell upon them. So what in the world is going on here? Well, let me tell you. They saw the goodness of God. Watch. They saw the goodness of God in the life of the Jews. They saw the goodness of God in God's people. They saw the goodness of God in the life of the Jews, and they converted to Jews. You see that word converted to Jews? Meaning this, is what that means. They left their paganism, their old lifestyle, and they came to the one true monotheistic God, meaning one creator God, right? There's only one creator God, the monotheistic God, Jehovah. It's like a New Testament revival has taken place here. They saw what God did in the lives of the Jews. They saw the gladness in them. Remember I told you it's going to step on your toes? They saw the gladness in them. They saw the rejoicing. They saw a positive change in God's people. They saw this joy. They saw the, look what it says, they saw the light of the Lord on these Jewish people. They saw how these Jewish people honored God in their lives. And because of that, people were converting to Jehovah in droves in the day of Mordecai. That doesn't excite you at all. Because we don't get too excited in a church about a cotton pitting thing anymore. I just proved it earlier. We don't get excited in the church anymore. Because it takes a lot to get us excited. It does. It takes a lot to get us excited.
it takes a lot for a movement of God to even get us excited. But I guarantee you, many celebrated more 2 weeks ago when Pittsburgh made the playoffs than when we pull a name out of this basket up here in the front. I'm not picking on you, I'm picking on me. I call it a Jersey Day. Maybe we need to call it Jersey Day whenever one gets saved. Listen, I don't want to pick on you, I pick on me. I'm not perfect. We celebrate more about a football win than we will ever celebrate of some of the things that God has given us. We don't celebrate. We don't celebrate when we look around at what God has done here in this place. We just get used to it. But we don't celebrate when we look around and see what God has done in this place. Do you have any idea how greatly God has blessed us? I mean, truly, have you ever really stopped to think about how greatly God has blessed us, how great His goodness has been toward us, but yet we do not go out and rejoice with gladness publicly for what the Lord has done, but for what God has done for us and for us in this place? Do you understand how blessed we are? Let me take you to a few other churches. God has blessed us, and we just think, well, we could do this better, we could do that better, right? And we can. I agree, we can. But if you stop and think about this, if you stop and think about this in our text today, these Medes and Persians, they all had to go, all these Medes and Persians, all these lost people, all they had to go on was the response of the Jews of what God had done for them. That's all they had to go on. They didn't have online services. They didn't have live services. They didn't have Facebook. They didn't have all this. All they had to go on was the response of the Jews of what God had done for them. And people said, I want that. I want what they have. Listen, they saw them smile. I'm looking at y'all. They saw them smile and rejoice publicly, proclaim God's goodness toward them. And they began to wonder, the world began to wonder, what's going on in their lives? What's happening with them? What is, they're fired up. They're rejoicing in the Lord. They're having a whole big celebration and a holiday. Look at this. What is going on? Well, I don't know, but whenever they talk to me, I want to be a part of it. Because they wanted it as well. But I don't think we ever take seriously the fact that people all around the world are dying and going to hell because they've never heard the name Jesus. Put your toes out. Put your toes out. They've never heard the name of Jesus, even from the church. Loving me now, aren't you? Do you realize that this whole empire that we're talking about in our text today, this whole empire stretched across where in this day, in this very day, the most lost people are gathered in the world, places like Africa, the Middle East, and parts of Asia? Do you realize what we're talking about here in this modern day is where the most lost people are gathered? And it was across that empire that these people saw what God had done in the life of the Jews, and they were coming to convert to be a part of God's chosen people. Amen! Likewise, that's our responsibility. That's not their responsibility. This is our responsibility. It's on us, those who are called by God, right? That is what God has called us to do. We are to be the image of the goodness of God. We need to walk around with a smile on our face. We need to walk around and say amen once in a while, right? Listen, we need to be excited about who we are. Listen, I'm not a Christian and I'm not ticked off about it. I'm a Christian and I'm happy about that. I am so satisfied in Christ. Do I get everything I want? Nope, didn't get a Golden Boy rifle. They heard about that last week, just so you know. We are to be the image of the goodness of God to others. Not to come in here and soak in the fact that we're saved and we never get excited about it. Get excited about it. Listen, I cannot tell you the amount of times, especially when people who don't really know me, and when they find out that I'm a pastor, they take off running. No. But they find out I'm a pastor, you know what they want to do? They want to talk. Happens to me all the time. I had a guy just this last week, right? Every time my vehicle has been dinged or dented or hit by someone in a parking lot, I take it to this dealership out in Washington, PA to get it fixed. And I've developed a relationship with this guy who works there. And every time I go there, he wants to talk to me about spiritual things. He wants to talk to me to the point that he contacted me at home, that he wanted me to come to go to lunch with him. And he texted me a couple times and over the past couple of months and said, next time you're in Washington, I'd like to meet with you for lunch. And I kind of brushed it off because, honestly, I'm busy with my own people. And in my head, I said, that's not my church member. That's not my responsibility. Then y'all know what happened? Yeah, conviction. Unrelenting smack right dab in your face, undeniable conviction. And let me tell you something, it don't feel good. So I needed to get my oil changed. So I called him up and scheduled an oil change and a lunch. And what he wanted to talk to me about was some personal things that was going on in his life. And he said, I don't know what it is about you, but I just feel comfortable around you that I can just talk to you. So I listened. I offered some advice and I prayed with him. And now, in hindsight, after this has all happened, come to think of it, you're talking about Lord working in the background? Maybe this is why my vehicle keeps getting dinged up. That's what I'm talking about. Just might be. But let me tell you something. People are just about falling over themselves to talk to you if they find out that you... that you have a genuine relationship with Jesus Christ and that you're not ashamed about it and are willing to talk about it without being weird. And I want to stop that and just listen. I don't stand on the corner with a 3-pound Bible knocking people in the head when they go by. That's not what I do. And I don't think that's what you should do. Don't be weird about it. Right? But you can, in a very humble way, share the goodness of God that's in your life. Because if you walk around with a frown on your face and act like you have no hope, what do you have to offer them? Right? Share the goodness of God in your life and then say, Can you in some way give me some hope in this desperate situation that I'm in? That's what they're asking. Can you give me some hope in this desperate situation I'm in? The same thing this guy was asking me. I need some words of encouragement. I need some words of hope. I need to find some goodness of God for my life. like you have. And God gives us that opportunity to say, listen, your life may be all tangled up. Your life may be all tangled up, but I know a God who can disentangle it all, who can reverse all of that. I know a God that can do what man cannot do. Yes, your life may be in trouble, but I know a God who can give you reassurance and hope. That's the goodness of God. Your life may be hard, but I know a God who can uncomplicate some of the most difficult things in your life. That's the goodness of God. Your life may be all tribulation, but I know a God who can provide joy even in the midst of that. That's the goodness of God. Your life may be in constant turmoil, but I know a God who can provide peace that the Bible says transcends all understanding. That is the goodness of God. I don't know about you, but I know a God like that. I know a God like that. Do you? Do you know a God like that? And listen, that can start a revival if it does. If we get to, that can start a revival that people will say, I want what you have. I want to become part of the family of God. Well, maybe that's where you're at this morning. You walked in here and you say, listen, those things that you described, that's me. My life is all tangled up in knots. My life personally, my marriage, my home, my work, my relationship with my children, my relationship with my family, my relationship with my friends. Everything is just a tangled up mess. And it seems irreversible, like it's never going to change. Well, listen, there's a God in heaven that just happens to do the impossible. And He is good, and you can know Him by knowing Jesus Christ. Amen? That by coming to Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, trusting in Him, putting your life in, your faith in Him, your hope in Him, He is a good, 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 and gracious God. Does that mean things don't go wrong in my life? That's not what that means. That means I have a hope in the midst of my trials. Now, if you are here this morning, you say, I want that in my life. I want that goodness of God in my life. Then listen, right here, right now, right where you sit, right this instance, you can invite Him into your life as your Lord and Savior right now. All you need to do is like, Lord Jesus, this goodness that the pastor's talking about in your word today, that goodness I want in my life. I need that in my life. So I need you to be my Lord and my Savior, and I want to give my faith and my life and my trust and hope to you. Would you come into my life? You can do that right now. Then if you do that, here's what I'm going to ask you to do. You need to make that public, so I'm going to ask you to do this. If you've done that, then you come up to me and say, I've given my life to Jesus. That's all you need to do. Just need to let me know. I've given my life to Jesus. And let me ask you this. Why not give your life to Jesus? Why not? That you will live spiritually forever with Him, in relationship with Him. Why not give your life to Him? And others of you just need to come and get at the altar and remember, and nothing else, just get at this altar and you need to remember, our God is good and He loves you. Or maybe something is consuming you. Something is overtaking you. Something is consuming you. It's got you in a bad place. Would you come and give it to God? And trust that He is working, has been and is working in the background on the behalf of your life, aligning all the right circumstances to deliver you because He's a good, good God. Or maybe you just need to remember His goodness to you. Do you ever do that? It's called praise. I give praise to God. Maybe you just need to remember the goodness that He's given to you, how it just happened that He delivered you. Have you ever just thanked God for saving you? I still to this day, Lord, I don't know why, but I'm glad You did. Thank You. And then allow Here's the important part. And then allow him to show in your life. Allow him to show in your life so that those who don't yet know him will want the hope that you have. They'll want the joy that you have. They'll want the gladness that you have. Listen, others of you, if your life does not show the joy of your salvation, then you need to repent and ask God, let me see your goodness again. That's revival. Let me see your goodness again. And if you can't see his goodness, maybe you need to reflect on your own salvation. You may need to do a spiritual reality check. Is it real? Or am I just plowing my way through this? Listen, let me tell you this. You can fake it for a little while. But true faith according to the Word of God, not according to me, true faith according to the Word of God endures till the end. Now, I want to leave you with something sweet, and I'm going to leave you with something good, because what we need in this church is a revival. I'm not talking about a service. I'm talking about an individual personal revival between us and God. Do you understand this? The goodness of God is running after you. The goodness of God is running after you. Question. Let's stand. Question. Are you running after him? Let's pray. Father God, I just pray, Lord, that we would never take for granted what you've given us, especially our salvation. But Lord, all the greatness and goodness that you've given us, all the entitlements that you've given us, Lord, just some of the answered prayers this last week and just even last night with Brother Lindell, Lord. But even through this last week, you have answered, you have showed up in big ways. But that we would rejoice, not silently, not in a closet, but Lord, that we would go out and say, listen, but if it wasn't for God, if it wasn't for God, if it wasn't that God didn't show up in his goodness, this would have turned out way different. Lord, there are some who are suffering and they're looking for your goodness. Lord, I pray that you show up in a very mighty and powerful way today. Lord, that as they would come and present themselves to you and say, Lord, I need your goodness. I need you to show up. Then, Lord, allow us to be patient if you have to work things out in the background. Lord, I just pray that this day you will be glorified. You'll be glorified through us. That we will lift you up to this world as someone we are proud of. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And you come. Don't hold, just come on. depart this place with every breath that is able, would you share the goodness of God? Amen. I love you all. Thank you for coming. God bless you. You are dismissed.
It's all my life you have.